The Sultan of Sizzle. The Titan of Toastiness. The Kingpin of Kindling. These are the admired ones. Those who've created the prime place together. They don't just have a backyard. They have the backyard. Because they know a solo stove fire pit is more than just the ultimate smokeless fire pit. It's a place where friendships are forged, football is revered, and food is enjoyed. Solo Stove, the perfect flame for the big game.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort. Coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
I only need to hear this song one time a year. That's it. And if not for Travis Kelce, we would never hear this song. A producer, Jay, putting together a montage in honor of the Chiefs reaching their fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. And a lot of conversations continue about not just Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and the duo making the plays when they needed to on Sunday, but how about that Chiefs defense? It has been so tenacious. It has been really the leader, if you will, setting the tone and picking up the offense when the offense is stunk, when the Chiefs led the NFL in drop passes, when the Chiefs were so undisciplined with the number of penalties and the stupid mistakes they would make. And then, of course, the low numbers. Well, I say low. How low can you go? The lowest numbers and stats of Pat Mahomes' career. It's been a down year for the Chiefs' offense as they tried to acclimate new weapons, new receivers around Kelce and Mahomes. Well, they figured it out just in time, and they did just enough. You know what it reminded me of, actually? You all may remember when the Broncos last won the Super Bowl the year that Peyton Manning retired. It was Super Bowl 50. It was the Denver defense that was so damn good, sparked by, I don't know where that came from, sparked by Von Miller. And it's not as though Peyton Manning couldn't do anything, but the offense was relatively spotty. He was dealing with the plantar fasciitis that had come back after missing a good chunk of the season. Remember, Brock Osweiler was starting in place of him. But as Peyton returned and he was there for the AFC Championship and he was there for the Super Bowl, he would throw a couple of touchdown passes. He would do what he needed to do, but it was the defense that was picking up the slack. I'm not telling you this Chiefs defense is as good, but they've got a lot of veterans. They did lose Charles Omenihu over the AFC Championship weekend to a torn ACL, which really stinks. But think about L'Jarius Sneed. Think about Nick Bolton. Think about Chris Jones, who's been so good. They've got some great veterans on that side of the ball, and those guys take a lot of pride in how they're playing and in the fact that they're now getting recognition, but also they're picking up the offense when for so long it was Mahomes and his side of the ball that would cover the multitude of sins for the defense. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. You can also vote for our, TD of the week. We've got one from each team, even the two that didn't come out on top. Monday MVP has got just a few minutes left, but that's on our show Twitter as well. And then also, we're asking you about Tom Brady in the broadcast booth because the 23 season is nearly done. He's definitely used his radio show to practice. Jay and I are all in. If all Tom Brady does is tell us what he sees, what is unfolding on the line of scrimmage through his eyes, or what he would have done in a particular moment, maybe he tells us how things could have been differently if blah, 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 X, Y, and Z. I just want his insight and his vision, and it's clear that he can communicate it. I don't need him to rip guys. I don't need him to use hyperbole like Tony Romo does. That play where where Lamar Jackson had a ball tipped up in the air and then ran under it, caught it, and had, I think it was a 13-yard gain. He called that the greatest play he's ever seen. It's not the greatest play he's ever seen. I understand that it was pretty dynamic, but we've seen other quarterbacks in history have a ball tipped up in the air and they catch it themselves. Marcus Mariota comes to mind. We saw that with Mariota, I don't know how many years ago. It's not like it's never happened before. And maybe because it was on the AFC Championship stage, Lamar Jackson being athletic enough to get there. Maybe because it reminded us that when we're kids, we used to try to throw a ball in the air and run under it and catch it. Whatever the case, it was not the greatest play he's ever seen. He's big into hyperbole and superlatives. And he goes over the top. I love his enthusiasm. I'm not criticizing him for that. But he's definitely over the top. Speaking from someone who can also be over the top. Like recognizes like. Brady's not like that. And I don't need Brady to give me personality. I don't need him to tell me a play's garbage. I don't need him to use hyperbole. I just want to know what he sees. And that's what people were so attracted to about Tony Romo at the beginning, is that he would tell us what he was seeing. And I'm not sure why he got away from that, because that's all he needs to do. The vast, vast majority of viewers, the vast majority of humans on this planet have never been in Tom Brady's shoes. I mean, there are obviously some who play football, who've played in Super Bowls, who've won Super Bowls, okay? So the NFL has a long tenure. But even when we're talking about pressure-packed situations and athletes and other sports, it's a very minute percentage of human beings who can identify with Tom Brady. The rest of us, we get to hear about it. And so I get that some of you are done with Tom Brady. But if you want to learn about football, and this is why I love Kurt Warner. I mean, I loved him as a player. He is all in explaining what he sees and why, breaking down film even. A lot of people love Dan Orlovsky because he'll break down film. That's what Tom Brady can give us, is insight that the vast majority of us, unless there's some former NFL quarterback listening to the show right now, we can't relate to. All we can do is study it, listen to it, read about it. But the greatest quarterback of all time is going to tell us what he thinks as games unfold. How in the world can you not be interested in that? I know not every great athlete, and that's understating it for Tom Brady, not every great athlete in his sport is good on TV. But Brady's very well spoken. And he does have the ability to communicate what he sees. That's all I need. I mean, Marco knows this. Marco and I have different opinions on this. I don't need Tom Brady to rip a guy when he screws up. It's pretty obvious when a guy screws up. I don't need him to call people garbage and trash and all that jazz. That's for hacks. I don't need him to rip referees. Fans do that. I just want to know what he sees. From the offense, from the defense, he was a very cerebral quarterback. And it's interesting, too, because as much as I thought this would happen, people are not yet tired of Peyton Manning. Peyton and Eli, and together, they're way better than they are separately. But the two of them are gaining such great momentum with their Omaha Productions, or that's Peyton's production company, as well as the Monday Night Mannings, as I call them. But damn it all, I missed every single one of the episodes this year. I didn't see any of them. It was a different 23 season, sorry. Just a different year. I blame the long distance relationship. Thank God it's not long distance anymore. Anyway, it's different to have the best. So this is a relatively new trend in media, right? Where now networks pursue the best of the best who played the sports so that they can then turn around and provide insight. And there is no one better. There is no one who saw the game quite like Tom Brady. So I don't know what there is to not like about that. Unless, of course, you're looking for, I don't know, somebody's going to get in there and scream and yell. That's obviously not Brady.
I think some people might be looking like hanging on to the fact, like, I hate Tom Brady. I have to hate Tom Brady. He beat my team. I hate Tom Brady. But like, you got to realize here where when he's coming into the booth, he's on our team now, meaning just as a fan, nice. As a viewer, where you hate him because he was so good and because he could pick apart
anything. And people
anything.
Were just tired of hearing about him.
Right, but now that he could tell you why he was so good, why he picked apart your team, what he mm-hmm. saw to pick apart your team. And that's you becoming a better, more knowledgeable football fan. So I don't see how people could be against that.
Agreed. I think it will enhance the broadcast and add to our understanding of what's playing out. And as someone who didn't play football myself, I'm thrilled about that. That's why I dig whatever I can get from some of the greats, because they see it differently than I do. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, you can take all these polls on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, also on our Facebook page. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. The one that I don't quite get is Bill Belichick in a broadcast booth, though there's not been any indication that he would be moving to TV yet, other than just speculation. And I can't imagine him being on a game broadcast unless it was a three-person booth. But I do think there is more of a groundswell for him being at a desk, so a pregame show or a postgame show. Could you imagine him and Jason Garrett at the same desk? That's the issue, is that Bill Belichick sees the game so differently than anybody else. Not that he is disrespectful of other people. He's just mostly disrespectful of the media, which is comical. But I don't know. How do you contradict Bill Belichick in any way?
Yeah, right. What are you going to say? You're wrong? You can't.
Yeah, they probably can't get into debates about a particular topic.
Imagine him and Brady in a booth.
That would actually be really interesting. I would sign up for that. I would pay the fee if that was what we got on Peacock. There, it's brilliant.
On
NBC?
I would buy it.
Well, Brady also already works for Fox. I don't know what Fox, if they have a streaming, they probably do.
Probably.
I'm not sure what the arm is. But if you, for some reason, had Brady and Belichick in a booth and they were only available on streaming, I would sign up to watch that.
I would pay a decent chunk for that.
Oh, yeah. That's the kind of star power. And as much as people are saying they won't tune in, they will, if for no other reason than it's a novelty.
That would be must watch. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick calling a game in the same booth.
Right.
A Patriots game, maybe?
No,
maybe
not that.
Maybe a little better.
I don't think that they would feel as free to be able to talk about it. I don't think that. Okay, so you can take our polls on our show Twitter, also on our Facebook page. And as I say, phone number 855-212-4227. The Kansas City Chiefs, they had a rocky road this season. When and how did it change, Andy Reid?
Mentioned that Raider game. Well, it's they just said, hey, we got to up our game. It wasn't us as coaches jumping up and down on them. They took it within themselves to say, we know what we are and can be. We've got to do it. And I mean, that jumps out at me, just that attitude.
The Raider game. I'm assuming he means the second one. That was the one in which they lost 20-14, and that was in Kansas City. Christmas Day. So maybe that's why it stands out to him. Remember, the Chiefs had two turnovers that turned into defensive touchdowns for the Raiders. I can understand why you'd be embarrassed, and that would be a turning point. Buck up, little campers. It's time. That cannot happen again. You want to be a championship team and go anywhere this season? We can never play like that. As long as we have some self-respect. And they've not lost since. After that Christmas Day game, they beat the Bengals at Arrowhead. Of course, that was Jake Browning, right? But still, the Bengals at Arrowhead. On the road at the Chargers, they only won by a point, but a lot of their guys weren't starting in week 18. They handled the Dolphins. I know it was a Dolphins team that was missing a few pieces, but they handled the Dolphins in wild card weekend at Arrowhead, then on the road at Buffalo, on the road at Baltimore. And those two games have been real different, actually. The other thing that stands out about this team is that they're battle tested, because it did not come easy this year. And I said to you on our last show, in the wake of the AFC Championship, that the veterans on this team have seen and done everything you possibly can in the football world. right? There's nothing that they haven't experienced. Now, some of their younger guys, sure. But when you have leaders like Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, and even some of the guys who played in the Super Bowl last year, that's such valuable experience. When you've got guys like Chris Jones and the others I mentioned on the defense who are comfortable in pressure-packed situations, in a pressure cooker, if you will, well, that's experience that gives them an edge. And the mental toughness comes along with the physical toughness. And Andy Reid is real proud of that kind of extra layer of character for his Chiefs.
It's a group that has there's a great spirit about them. And there's a certain toughness that they have to where they don't get down on each other. They challenge each other. They support each other. And it's been that way through the highs and lows. I mean, nothing's changed. Adam mentioned that Raider game. Well, it's they just said, hey, we got to up our game. It wasn't us as coaches jumping up and down on them. They took it within themselves to say, we know what we are and can be. We've got to do it. And I mean, that jumps out at me, just that attitude. I mentioned it after the Buffalo game. I mentioned it yesterday afternoon that there's a grit to that. And maybe you're not the most talented. Maybe you're not the fastest or the quickest or whatever. But let's go maximize what we are and let the chips fall where they may.
Now, there's a couple of other kind of side stories with the Kansas City Chiefs that we'll have to get to. Did you see the video, and it went viral before the AFC Championship, of Travis Kelce? Now, he was all up in the grill of pretty much every Raven he possibly could. It seemed like he was out to start something on Sunday, and maybe he was feeling it because he was playing a great game. He's actually been a lot better in the postseason, but we know he himself labeled his regular season as sucked. Anyway, he's out there. He's warming up. Justin Tucker's stuff is in his way and in Pat's way. And so he picks it up and he chucks it, the ball and the tee. While Tucker's there warming up, I can see the video, you can see Tucker stretching and Travis takes his stuff and just chucks it.
Jabroni.
Like I said, he was feeling himself on Sunday.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Right. Okay. I'm sure you've heard of him. He's only right now statistically the best kicker in NFL history. Anyways, Tucker talks about that incident on Monday, so you'll have to hear it. It's pretty interesting. Let's talk to Mark, who's in California. Mark, welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Well, good evening, or good morning, I should say, here in California. The thing I wanted to say was I'm so interested to see Belichick come in, and even Brady as far as interviews or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I sure wish they would bring back that young man. He's been gone a long time. He's such a character. Todd Christensen, the very good tight end from the Ravens. Had you ever heard him behind the mic? Hello?
Hello?
Todd Christensen.
Right, no, I got the name, but was he? I don't remember him being in a booth.
Yeah. He was in the booth and on the field. His name's Todd Christensen, and he was a Rhodes Scholar. And he would sit and talk to people and actually make fun of them and undress them while standing next to them. And they couldn't have on air to actually let him go.
Oh, gotcha. Well, I just Googled him so that I could.
He was hysterical, though. I'm serious. If you were to see him sit down and talk to people, just hysterical. He was so smart, this guy.
Gotcha.
Todd Christensen, yeah.
Okay, well, I just Googled him.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that, yeah.
Right, and apparently
enjoying your show very much.
Oh, okay, thank you, sir. Yes. Okay, I appreciate
thank
that.
You very much. Have a good evening.
All right, Mark.
And we'll have the Niners. Go Niners big time.
Okay, good. All right, good to hear from you. Yes, thank you. All right, I guess it doesn't matter. I Googled him, and he passed away over a decade ago, so he's not still in a broadcast booth. But yes, he is a former NFL tight end.
Well, Mark told me he was excited about Bill Belichick, or he would love to have seen Bill Belichick in a booth, and then he didn't say that, but... So there's one who wants to see Bill Belichick.
One vote for Belichick, one vote for Christensen. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, and you can vote too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening.
The Sultan of Sizzle, the Titan of Toastiness, the Kingpin of Kindling. These are the admired ones, those who've created the prime place together. They don't just have a backyard, they have the backyard, because they know a solo stove fire pit is more than just the ultimate smokeless fire pit. It's a place where friendships are forged, football is revered, and food is enjoyed. Solo Stove, the perfect flame for the big game.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort. Coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Hey, Mel, Bri here. Gotta work from home today because the whole family caught a nasty.
Daddy!
Hey, Mikey, if you're gonna puke, find the popcorn bowl! But my availability is 110%. Coincidentally, so is my fever. Kidding. Mel, I'm so cold but hot. But I'm gonna get you that budget. Just as soon as... Mikey! Popcorn bowl!
Press 1 to use Instacart and get your family's sick day essentials delivered in as fast as 30 minutes. Press 2 to keep working. Do not press 2. Just use Instacart, Brian.
Get ahead of postage rate increases this year with Stamps.com. It's like your own personal post office. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.
To the After Hours Podcast. You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jesse's in Dallas. Oh, dear, this could be bad.
Hey, Amy, I definitely got my boy Jerry's back. I never went to college. He's a frat boy. Why do you fall in love with Johnny Manziel?
You might be in love with Johnny Manziel, but I pretty much despise the cat.
I really got to have Jerry's back. He is old. You can't hate the man for having a few drinks. Are you really going to go after an old man like that?
Jerry Jones sets himself up for it, Jesse.
Tomorrow and the next day after that, he's not going to remember what he said. It's because of booze.
I don't think that's what you want to do. Be like Jerry Jones when you're 73. Poor Jesse.
I don't want to wait.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
There will always be a very vocal contingent of Cowboys fans who are sure that Jerry Jones is the reason why they have not won a Super Bowl in decades and why they keep getting stuck and can't get past the second round. But see, here's the thing. You can dislike him as an owner. You can think he puts himself in the center of the conversation too much. But you can't quibble with the rosters he's put together. As the GM, and I know he works very closely with his son, Steven. I forgot his daughter's name, but she's also very involved in Cowboys operations. I think more on the business side. Either way, it's a family affair. And Jerry and his son have put together a very competent roster. Again, you can quibble with some of the choices that he's made in terms of being in the public eye and some of the comments that he makes. And I mean, we're not commenting on his personal life and those decisions, but you can't argue with the roster full of superstars that they've built through the draft as well as through free agency. And yeah, you may not want Mike McCarthy to remain the head coach, but you can also understand why he's keeping him if you can take your subjectivity out of it. 3 consecutive years of 12-plus wins, 2 division titles. That's never happened with a head coach in Dallas Cowboys history. I think it's so interesting when people blame Jerry Jones for everything that's wrong with the Cowboys. But he's put rosters together that should be winning. I mean, they are winning in the regular season. They just haven't been able to get over the hump in the playoffs. It's so weird to me. I don't understand why people give him such flack. Again, you don't have to like him, but if he is the GM and the GM's job is putting together rosters, there are not many rosters in the NFL that are better than the Cowboys, which is why you've got an NFL MVP candidate. You've got both an offensive player of the year and 2 defensive player of the year candidates. not a whole lot to quibble about, not to mention you're missing Trayvon Diggs, right? He's the one that, was it second week? Shoot, I forgot what week it was, but that was a painful blow for the Cowboys and their defense. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, also on our Facebook page, 855-212-4227. Jay looked it up, and his daughter's name is Charlotte. Thank you. I could see her face in my head, but I couldn't conjure up her name. Jerry did a conversation. I'm not sure if this was in place of his Tuesday conversation with Sean and RJ on our Dallas affiliate 105.3, The Fan. But he made some comments about his number one goal, first priority for the Cowboys in the headlines.
If anybody is thinking that we have more said about us or more visibility, if they're saying that, that's exactly what I try to do.
Huh?
And I do want to keep them talking about the Cowboys and have from the day I got here. And so, again, I'm smiling and I'm saying it with all the positive in the world. If we've got them talking about us, we're doing our job.
I don't know the context of it, so I would have to go back and listen to more of the interview. But you hear the chuckling in the background with Sean and RJ. Again, I don't know why he would say that, but I do think it sounds a little tongue-in-cheek. Funny, too, because that's what an old boss used to tell me. If you can cause people to have some type of a reaction to your radio show. Now, I choose not to be hot take, rant out of my butt radio. I don't find that interesting. And I know that's a lot of what sports radio is, which is why I may not be your cup of tea. I'm not a hot taker. In fact, it makes me roll my eyes to hear a lot of hot takes. And again, like what we talked about with Tony Romo, the hyperbole, the superlatives. This is the worst ever. These refs are the worst ever. This is the garbage and trash and everything else. It's not my personality, and it wouldn't be authentic radio. But this boss said to me, if you can get people to have a reaction, either they vehemently disagree with what you're saying, or they 100% agree with you and will yell it out loud, you know, will have that type of an emotional reaction. You don't want people to be lukewarm. If their response is, whatever, or it's not memorable and they don't remember you at all, then as a radio host, you're not really moving needles. And that's an old phrase for, you know, seeing the needles pop up back and forth on a radio board, a soundboard. Again, I don't choose to do it in a disingenuous manner. And I'm not telling you that every argument or debate that I engage in, do I only have one perspective? Because I sometimes will play devil's advocate and argue the opposite. But I can do it intelligently without using inappropriate language or screaming and yelling. It's just part of radio. But I do absolutely appreciate when people disagree so strongly with me, because then you're thinking about it. Then you're processing it. The world would be super boring if we all agreed about everything all the time. So in that respect, I understand what Jerry is saying. If the Cowboys are still in the center ring of the circus, if the Cowboys are still relevant, if people are still talking about us, then I'm doing something right. Again, kind of an odd thing to say, but that's his priority, is to make sure the Cowboys are in the headlines, preferably because they're winning. But I would agree with him on this point. If you're irrelevant, that's the worst place to be. And maybe you can look at it from the angle of, hey, if you're really crappy and you're really bad, you're in the news for that reason. But at least you're closer to getting the number one overall draft pick. Right? We're not going to talk about the teams that are middle of the road. Once Kirk Cousins got injured, Justin Jefferson was injured, and once the whole Josh Dobbs phenomenon kind of flamed out and the Vikings went back to Nick Mullins and whoever else. Did we talk about them again the rest of the year? No, because they didn't matter. It was irrelevant. In sports, being irrelevant is worse than being hated. Being irrelevant, where people don't think about you for weeks on end, is worse than being despised and criticized. In sports and in sports radio, irrelevant is a far worse fate than having people talk about you all the time. Again, not in a disingenuous way, like going viral for some hot take. That to me is a waste of time. But I will say there's many people out there that's what they dig. Some headline that serves as clickbait. When Aaron Rodgers is irrelevant, it will feel like hell to him, because what he mostly wants to do is stir the pot. That's how Aaron Rodgers gets his rocks off.
It's going to be hard to cancel me.
Right. He wants to stir the pot. He wants to make people talk. There are people and personalities like that. I don't think that's Tom Brady, which is why I actually believe that I'll find Brady genuine and sincere. Aaron Rodgers, I take everything that comes out of his mouth with a grain of salt.
I don't have your number. You're not going to have my number.
It's much more self-serving. At least that's the way it comes across with Aaron than it is with Tom Brady. I think Tom genuinely respects football and wants to do a good job. And for that, I applaud him. He took a year off. Do you know how many people would have jumped right into that broadcast booth because the money was too good to turn down? Remind me again, $750 million. How much is it, Jay?
I think it was $775.
Oh, yeah. Only $775. Will you Google just so we're accurate? How many people would have said, I'm going to take that money now? How many people would have said, screw it, I want to get in that broadcast booth immediately, and I'm going to prove everybody to everybody what I know?
$375. 10 years, $375.
Oh, excuse me. I gave him $400 extra million. I guess you can't have Patrick Mahomes money anymore. There are a lot of people that wouldn't have taken a year off to prepare for this role. So I admire the fact that he's a meticulous preparer. And when it comes to this new role, he's taking it just as seriously as he did his playing career. He's not going to mail it in. Nobody's going to have to tell Tom Brady that he needs to spend more time watching film or whatever else. So how interested are you? Maybe that would have been a word we could have used instead, but sub a different word. How excited, how interested, how curious are you for Tom Brady's debut in the Fox booth? I went 10 or more. I'm all in on this. When was the last time the greatest quarterback ever was in a broadcast booth? It's a relatively new phenomenon to have the greatest quarterback ever and to have athletes in that seat. So I'm here for it. Well, I'll be there for it. I guess it's not here yet. So on our Facebook page or on Twitter, After Hours CBS, you can also vote for TD of the Week, as well as the Monday MVP, but you're running out of time. There are only 13 minutes left. Okay, so Justin Tucker, greatest statistical kicker in NFL history. And somehow he wasn't allowed to warm up like he normally does, because this is on his own field, by the way, because Travis Kelce didn't like it. Kelce was on the rampage. We will let you hear Tucker's explanation coming up. And in the same division, the AFC North, Art Rooney, a rare interview that he's done for Steelers YouTube. How are you? I hope you survived your Monday.
Good afternoon.
Without a leaky toilet and now a ceiling that needs to be replaced. So happy to be a homeowner. I'm going to keep saying it, even if I don't feel it right now.
You are listening to the After Hours Pod.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
Make this Valentine's Day one she'll remember forever with an engagement ring from JamesAllen.com. James Allen knows each love story is unique. That's why they make it easy to custom design engagement rings at up to half the price of a traditional jeweler. Choose from tons of conflict-free diamonds, both natural and lab-grown, then pick your ring setting and metal. Shop the James Allen Valentine's Day sale and get 25% off with promo code PODCAST. That's 25% off at jamesallen.com, promo code PODCAST.
Nobody wants a surprise in their jelly donut.
It's toothpaste?
That's because the middle is the most important part. At Graybar, we're at the middle of electrical and datacom jobs across the country, connecting installers, facility managers, and business owners with smart solutions for their most challenging projects, which means stocking and delivering crucial products on time and on budget, with no surprises, thanks to our nationwide logistics network. Yep, Graybar does that.
Cast.
Tenth play of the Chiefs drive is first and 10 after the penalty at the Raven 19 near hash. Mahomes to throw against a four-man rush. Fires it near side to Kelce. Comes back to the ball and hauls it in. Touchdown, Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes absolutely took duct tape and just wrapped the ball around the waist of Travis Kelce for a 19-yard touchdown.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Mitch Holtis on Chiefs Radio. And Travis was all up in his feelings on Sunday, and maybe that's just how he got fired up to play, but he seemed to jaw with pretty much every Raven on the field. And remember, that sounded funny when it came out of my mouth the first time. If you recall, much easier, this was a game in Baltimore at M&T Bank Stadium, but Kelce seemed to have a personal axe to grind with everybody who was wearing purple or believing in the purple, spouting purple. Seemed like every time I watch a highlight even, there's more of Travis jawing at Ravens than I even noticed during the game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Just for kicks and giggles, after hearing some of Brady's analysis in the wake of Championship Sunday, Jay and I are actually really excited about seeing him and hearing him on TV, not because of his name, but because of his potential as the greatest quarterback of all time to really unlock some of the secrets of playing that position at the highest level. I can't wait. But many of you do not share our enthusiasm, and that's okay. You can take the poll, as well as our TD of the Week poll, on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page, too. We'll get more from Brady coming up, just because he apparently took a trip and was still able to keep up with the championship games, but he was not in the United States for a good portion of the last couple of weeks. All right, but I digress.
Guys, that's a dinner.
That's your hint. Justin Tucker was Travis Kelce's first victim. I'm using my air quotations. His first target. How about that? During pregame warmups, and Jay, if you want to go and find a video out there, one of these sites where it went viral, you can share it on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. But if you've not seen it, Kelce didn't like where Justin Tucker was stretching and getting ready to warm up and where he had left his kicking equipment on the baseline. And during pregame warmups, he actually took Tucker's football and his kicking tee and chucked them. Like, he threw them through the goal, like through the end zone and out past the goal line. And Tucker just kind of had this amused look on his face. Didn't think he was going to tango with Travis Kelce and get into a pregame skirmish. But he did speak about it on Monday at the exit interviews for the Ravens. This is his perspective.
For those that don't know, the way it works is each team's kicker goes to the other team's designated warm-up area on the field. And for me, it's usually about 90 minutes before kickoff. So I've been doing the exact same thing for 12 years, never really had a problem with anybody. But that's just kind of the way we've always done it, and the way kickers around the league have always done it. And I saw Patrick there trying to warm up and get some drop backs. So he asked me while I was on the ground stretching, like, if I could move my helmet. So I happily got up and I moved my helmet out of the way. At least I thought it was enough out of the way. And then Travis comes over and he just kicks my stuff and he throws my helmet. And I just thought it was all just some gamesmanship, all in good fun. But they seem to be taking it a little bit more seriously. I'm totally willing to let it all go, but... I just wanted to explain that that's just, what I've done for 12 years, and it's not like I'm out there trying to be problematic. I'm just trying to get ready for the football game just like they are.
Do you believe him? Jay, do you believe him, or do you think he was somehow accidentally in Mahomes' way? Like, maybe he might, whoopsie, twist an ankle on the kicking tee?
No,
Think it was gamesmanship?
No.
You believe Justin Tucker when he says, this is just what I do, and we just happen to be in the same space?
I think Justin Tucker was just in his own world, like he always is before Minding his own business,
and
doing his stretch.
And if Mahomes trips over the kicking tee, well, that's not my fault. I do this every game.
I think that he said Mahomes asked him to move it the first time. I think he got up, said, okay, no problem, moved it. Like he said, he thought a respectable amount away. I guess I wasn't far enough, but I don't think he meant any ill will towards not moving it far enough. He just was like, okay, no problem, moved it, and I guess they didn't like where he moved it. But I don't think Justin Tucker's out here picking fights with Travis Kelce.
Well, not
and
picking
Patrick
a
Mahomes.
Fight, but maybe accidentally left his kicking tee where Mahomes might step on it.
That'd be bush league.
That would be really bush league.
I don't think he's like that.
He's pretty intense. No, I don't either. I'm just saying, people have to question. We need to question his ulterior motives.
Oh, sure.
And if there were any. Okay, so as he points out in that answer, because that was one of the top questions for the media on Monday, is what happened with Travis Kelce, Justin. Anyway, he says that this is what kickers do, and you'll see kickers, they attempt field goals or PATs at both ends to gauge the wind and all that kind of stuff, especially in the elements, obviously not in a dome, but this was Baltimore. And so he's out there where Mahomes is warming up, or they're close. And there is video, too, that shows Mahomes actually tossing the tee aside. Okay, so it wasn't just Travis Kelce. Travis just made this major scene out of it.
They were both bullies.
And had a flare. Bullies?
They were bullies. That was bullies. Pretty bullish. It was bullish.
Bullish.
That's what they were. They were bullying
bullish,
Justin Tucker.
Well, bullish would actually be a positive thing, I guess, if you're a stock market broker. Anyway, so there is video that show Mahomes tossing aside the kicking tees. He just didn't get as much pub for it. And then Kelce decides, screw this, I'm going to be a little more demonstrative. And he starts kicking the footballs and flinging his helmet off the field. I mean, he got down there and he chucked it.
He's angry. He
looks
angry.
It was like a bat flip. Oh, this was Nelson, not Nelson, shoot. Who was the one that got punched in the face?
Batista? Blue Jays?
Yeah, no, Batista did it. But who was the one that, shoot.
No, Batista got punched by...
Who was the one that took exception to it?
Oh, my goodness. The second baseman.
Yes.
Rougned Odor.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Rougned Odor. Rougi Odor. Remember the two of them?
Clocked him.
He clocked him. And for that reason, Bautista just decided he was not having it. Anyway, so that was the whole, like, bat chuck from Bautista. Mm-hmm. This was Travis Kelce like chucking the footballs in the helmet. Like, we shouldn't have to tell you twice. Get out of my quarterback's way.
No, yeah, he was making Justin Tucker move. He wasn't letting him do that anymore.
But Mahomes didn't get any negative pub for it. He actually did kick the tees a couple of times.
Kind of like a good cop, bad cop kind of thing. Mm. Even though Mahomes was the bad cop, like you're saying, he did push it. He just did it a little less demonstratively like Kelce did. So, yeah, a little good cop, bad cop.
Definitely check out the video because it's funny stuff. It really is. Only because it's so playground. It's so fight on the playground type of stuff. And the fact that it's in Baltimore is not lost on me. This is actually Justin Tucker Stadium. Who do you think you are, Travis Kelce?
That was sweet.
This is actually Justin Tucker's turf, and you're out there throwing his helmet around.
Tremendous point.
You're right. He was definitely being a bully. I don't think that Mahomes was, I don't know, just, hey, I'm warming up here. I don't want to trip. It can be interpreted that way. Kelsey comes along like he's an enforcer on the hockey ice and just starts chucking Tucker stuff, even though that's his stadium, you goon. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
A Peanut Butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort. Coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
Nobody wants a surprise in their jelly donut.
It's toothpaste?
That's because the middle is the most important part. At Graybar, we're at the middle of electrical and datacom jobs across the country, connecting installers, facility managers, and business owners with smart solutions for their most challenging projects, which means stocking and delivering crucial products on time and on budget, with no surprises, thanks to our nationwide logistics network. Yep, Graybar does that.